Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It is always a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be in the house of God with his people. Amen. And I think the great thing is, no matter where we are, where two or three are gathered, he is always in the midst. Amen. Who believes that? All right. So, you know, sometimes we want, you know, for some reason, we're so geared to wanting big churches that we miss the fact that the main purpose of church is to go fellowship, but also lift the name of God, but then also take what we've learned and go back to our neighborhoods. Amen. This week, while Michael was at my house, he came by for a little bit while Monica was doing an audition. Prayerfully, she got that. Amen. What happened was, my neighbor came outside while we were looking at my Lexus, and I've been praying for a while for my neighbors. As soon as I get their names, I get their names. So while I was out there, Michael heard me. I was like, hey, I just want to let you know I've been praying for you. You know, and she was like, what? You really prayed? Like, she was excited, all smiling. And she was like, I was like, so is there anything in particular that you want me to pray for? And she was like, well, I'm getting a new job, you know, or she was going for an interview. So, you know, I said, God, let this show her how powerful prayer is. There was another lady that was in my complex, couldn't get a job for a while, trying to get a job. I prayed, and she was like, oh, guess what? I got a job. Amen. So what begins to happen is, let us stretch our faith. Amen. We believe that God is able to do it exceedingly above, beyond what we can think or imagine. But guess what God wants? He wants you to be that mouthpiece. Amen. Today, we're going to continue on what I preached on Sunday, which was, anybody remember if you were here on Sunday? Oh, Jesus. I'm going to start putting it on people's foreheads. Make time for God. That's what we were talking about. Making time for God. Some of the things that I talked about were, we talked about making time with God a priority. You guys kind of remembering now. Monica, you weren't here, were you? Were you here on Sunday? I don't think so. Oh, okay. So making time with God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we were talking about the importance and the rewards of time with God. And it was talking about the peace that God gives from being in his presence. Amen. Also, we talked about Daniel chapter 6, Daniel and the lion's den. Is this helping people kind of remember? Yeah, we talked about Daniel in the lion's den and how his prayer life, his making time for God, wasn't shifted by what people threatened him with. Because remember, it said it was his custom to get up and go pray 3 times a day with the windows open so people can hear him. Amen. But we also talked about the importance of that making time with God. Not only did Daniel show that he was, his priority was with God, because of that time that Daniel set aside with God, God kept him in a time when he was in danger. Amen. And today we're going to talk about a few things. First, I'm going to go start at Mark chapter 1. And once we get there, we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for a new day, a new time, dear God, that you are here with us, oh God. I thank you, dear God, that you have opened this place, dear God, so we can come and worship. And God, we pray, dear God, that with our worship, with our time with you, God, that you would speak to our hearts, oh God, that you would direct and lead us in the ways that you have set aside for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. All right. So we're going to read Mark 1, verse 35 through 39. It's very simple. But I've read this before to you guys. But this is something that Jesus did. Now, I always look at what Jesus did, and obviously we all are trying to be like Jesus. Got to be a little more like Jesus, right? But one thing that we have to learn about Jesus is the importance of spending time with God. Now, this is crazy because he is God. Guys, catch that, right? But he still made time to spend with his Father. This is important. And what we get to see is, in this particular passage, we get to see Jesus get the instructions on where to go. Now, how many of us have different things that are going on in our life, and we're like, God, I need your direction, right? Maybe it's a new path. It's a new job. It's a new, I was talking to our cousin Solomon. He's talking about graduating from high school. And Matt, by the way, he has those tools. He took them to mom and dad's house for you. I just had to remember. But he was talking about, I was like, how are you feeling, man? You about to graduate from high school. And he was like, oh, I'm excited, but man, I'm really nervous, man. I don't know what's going to happen. And I said, man, well, listen, all you got to do is it's just like turning the next page. You just keep on doing what you were doing. Right. It might just be a little bit different. Right. College is going to be different. But I was encouraging him to know that it's going to be all right. Amen. And that's what God does when we spend time with him. One thing that God always does and he wants to keep us in is in peace, not pieces. Right. You ever met somebody that, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I can fall apart. Man, what is that? That's not the spirit of God. Right? That's called anxiety. And many believers today, and I'm not going to say like are diagnosed with this, but there is anxiety that we place upon ourselves because we don't learn to spend time with God. The more you spend time with God, even in a time where you think it's bad, if you just relax, God will take care of it. Amen. Let's go. It says Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, now in the morning, somebody say in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Oh, Jesus. This we talking about Jesus right here. Woke up early in the morning before the daylight. Not just a little bit before daylight, but long before daylight. And it says he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Anybody know what solitary means? Secluded, alone. I'm going to look it up right now. Solitary. And, you know, we got the game solitary. So definitely alone, unaccompanied. Sometimes you have to get to a place like that. Right? Now, this doesn't mean you got to go on a vacation to go pray. Let's be clear about that. Right? But like I told you guys on Sunday, one of the things I started to do is get up earlier to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you guys this. Every time you get up or every time I pray, it's not always an exciting time. Right? Can I be real with you guys? It's not always exciting, but I'm building something. Right? When you build a house from scratch, it's not always an exciting time. There's some parts that's going to try your nerves, right? There's some things that are going to be frustrated. The budget is not looking, if you guys ever watch those TV shows, something always goes wrong with the budget, right? But as long as you're progressing, you're getting closer and closer to the finished house in that instance. In your prayer life, when it's not exciting, what you're beginning to do is you're pushing beyond excitement. All right? You push beyond excitement so you can be in God's presence. I started washing my face. I started putting more water on my face just so I can wake up so I can be in God's presence. Because I'm going to tell you guys, I don't like waking up early in the morning. Right? But as soon as my alarm goes off, and I change my alarm to a worship song, so when it goes off, I play the what is it song? Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. I play that song. Now, the funny thing is, it'll keep playing until I get up. So I might let it play one time through, but then I'm like, all right, I got to get up. Why? Because I'm setting the atmosphere. Amen? So it says, Jesus departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. One thing about a solitary place, it allows you to remove all distractions. Everything is removed when you're in a solitary place. And I'm going to tell you guys this. I think the enemy distracts you more when you read your Bible in prayer than anything else. That's why people come to church and are distracted. Right? And we've all been distracted. An alert goes off, an email goes off, a Facebook message, a Twitter alert. You know, all of these things are erasing the solitary place that we need to have with God. So he says, and he prayed. All right. Then it says this, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Now that's a small verse, but we don't know how long they were searching for Jesus. Right. But I would like to say, if Jesus got up way before the sun came up, it was probably they woke up when the sun came up and started looking for him. So what we see is Jesus spent time in the presence of God. Not only did he spend time, he had to sacrifice something to make that time. What did he sacrifice? Sleep. Right? Now, some of us sacrifice sleep for our job, sleep for sports. I'll tell you guys this. One thing that I loved to get up early for was when I had a game. When I played with my dad on the midgets team, we had to get up at 6 o'clock for a football game, right? And as soon as my dad said, and he didn't even have to yell. You guys remember I told you on Sunday, you know, there was a certain tone that my dad would do when we were going to school. He'd be like, Marquise, wake up. And I knew I had to get up. Well, since it's the football game, he's like, hey, son, wake up. And I'm up instantly. Why? Because I was excited for the game. Right? But I sacrificed sleep for that game. I'm going to tell you this. Real athletes sacrifice all kind of food for a game. Let me be clear right now. Those people that are getting ready for the Super Bowl, some of them are not eating certain foods because they're prepping their bodies for the game. I heard one guy named Brandon Marshall. He plays for the New York Jets. I've heard that he's a believer as well. But one thing he said is he learned that certain vegetables would make his body begin to inflame, which would allow him to gain weight, and other vegetables wouldn't. Right? And some of us are like, man, you eating vegetables. Why are you worried about it? But they are so strict on what they allow inside their body because they want their body to be at peak position. We have to do that with prayer. We have to say, I'm so strict about my time with God that there's just going to be some things I'm going to have to miss. Right? Jesus did that. We must do that as well. Now, they searched for him. And this is the bad thing about when you don't have a solitary place to pray. Everybody's trying to get a hold of you. When you pray, all hell breaks loose. Hey, can you help me? No, I can't. I'm praying. You know, sometimes is that the Christian thing to say? Yeah, sometimes it is. Everybody's emergency is not your emergency. Did you guys catch that? Because how many of you know some people's emergency really isn't an emergency? There's other people that can take care of those things. But we must sacrifice time to be with God. Verse 37 says, when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in the synagogues through all Galilee and casting out demons. Okay. So what we see here, because of his time with prayer, Jesus clearly understood his purpose. You guys catch that? He was spending time with prayer, in prayer with God. They were looking for him. They came. They said, "We've been looking for you." And he didn't say, I was praying or nothing like that. He just clearly says, "Now I know why I'm here for this moment right here." He got direction. And it's clear, God brings clarity to your purpose and your direction. Amen? If you ever feel like, okay, I don't know what I should be doing right now, begin to pray. Ask God for ideas. Ask God, because this is one thing, even with songs, when I write songs, I remember when I was with Marcel and Champion and we would write songs, we would actually just pray for like 30 minutes, not tell anybody what we said or what God spoke to us. We would ask God to speak to us a theme for a song. We would write it down or one of them would say what it was and we would agree. It would be an agreement that God wanted us to write this song. And then we start writing a song, right? But what we asked was for clarity from God so that we knew what to do. Amen? You can do the same thing when you spend time with God. So one of the things, this part of it is called creating habits in prayer. One thing is to get into a solitary place and make sacrifices when you pray. Amen? And I'm not talking about food sacrifice. Sometimes it might have to be a fast, right? Anybody ever been distracted, really distracted in prayer? Like you can't, it's like I can't even keep my mind on prayer. Something kept, guess what? Fast. Say, God, I want clarity in my prayer life. I no longer want my prayers to I start praying and then I start thinking about my job. I start praying and then, oh, what about my kids? I start praying, dang, I forgot to put those clothes in the washer. You know, your mind is everywhere. Begin to fast so you can say, God, and even when you're fasting, you're saying, God, I want to hear you clearly. God, I want to be able to focus on you. Because the world has ADD. And there is spiritual ADD, right? And that's not a shot at anybody, I'm just saying. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. See, in the world, they try to give you a medicine for that. But see, what God will do is if you sacrifice, he will give you clarity. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 through 16. All right. Now it says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. Somebody say the mountain. All right. What is the mountain here? What can we say this is? A solitary place, right? When you're in the mountain, usually you're not with a lot of other people, right? He's not on a 10,000 kilometer hike with a whole bunch of people going to pray. You know, he's finding some place where he can be alone with God. But then again, look at this. We're talking about habits in prayer. He got to that solid place, but then it also, he sacrificed again, and it says, and he continued all night, somebody say all night, in prayer to God. Now, is that interesting? This is only two scriptures that I found on Jesus praying, but from these two scriptures, we see a pattern. Solitary place, sacrifice time. Sacrifice sleep. But why is he doing this? Let's find out. And when it was day, guess what? See, this is what happens. Once Jesus does it, the next verse will tell you what Jesus is going to do. You guys notice that? So what begins to happen is his prayer life directed him in where to go. And that's the Spirit of God's job, right? The Bible says he will speak. This is the memory verse that I've been trying to memorize. He will not speak on his own accord. He will speak what the Father has told him to speak. And it says he will lead you in all truth. Amen. That's what the Spirit of God does. So Jesus is seeking the Spirit of God. And then it says in verse 13, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them, he chose 12 whom he named apostles. So what began to happen is Jesus found out who is going to be with him. Now, some people might say, well, he made a bad decision because he chose Judas. Right? You guys, anybody ever thought about that? Anybody? I know we in the church. And, you know, guess what? You might pick a Judas one time. God might tell you that's the person, and they may do some things to betray you. But guess what? Will you forgive them? What if the whole theme of Jesus and Judas was to show us, even when somebody is close to us and they hurt us, it's your job to forgive. It's your job to love. Not only that, Jesus knew that was going to happen, right? But, you know, we in church, and if that person just can't be Christ-like, kick them out, right? Is that how it's supposed to be? Sometimes that's how the church is, right? Oh, he messed up. But Jesus knew he was going to do that, and he still decided to love him. The incredible thing about that is I don't believe Jesus loved Judas any less than any of the disciples. Even when he betrayed him, he still allowed him to eat with him. Right? You guys got to remember, he said the one that eats, that dips in the same cup that I'm going to dip in is the one that's going to betray me. Jesus knew who it was from the beginning. But he chose to love. That was a side note. Verse 14 says, Simon, whom he also called named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who was also became a traitor. All right. Not only did that, he found his disciples, but then you begin to see him begin to work in his ministry because of him making time to spend with God. Amen. I definitely encourage any of you, if you ever are going to go out to minister, if you're ever going to preach, if you're ever going to just say, God, I want you to use me today, begin to pray and ask God what you should do. How should you go about it? Because I'm going to tell you one thing about the enemy is he's going to try to distract you from your purpose and the plan that God has for you. Amen. But you continue to seek out God. Amen. So one thing that we see, once again, is make time with God. Get it to a solitary place. Make a sacrifice of other things, like sleep sometimes, right? But one thing we see in creating habits in prayer, this will bring direction to your life. Amen. Now let's go to the disciples. We're going to read Acts chapter 1, 4 through 8 and 12 through 14. And I think we'll close there. But I entitled this, Wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something that if we're making time with God, some people still have a hard time understanding that the Holy Spirit is God. And guess what? He is God, right? The Holy Spirit is how you hear from God. The Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to your remembrance when you're in a crisis, right? It's not just good words, it's God's word. Because we all tried to do it. I can tell you guys a situation. One time I had my blue car, the Dodge Spirit, I believe it was, way back in the day. It wasn't that way back, but it was back, right? And me and my Precious at the time was my girlfriend. We went to Grocery Outlet, and the car wasn't starting, right? I don't know why the car wouldn't start. I just couldn't get it to start. So I'm there, and I'm like, oh, keep a positive attitude, Marquise. It's going to be all right, right? Thank you, Lord, that you're going to help this work. Not working, right? About the 20th time, I lost it. It was no more positive attitude. It was like, what is going on? What's wrong with this car, right? And just as a side note, I think car problems is one of the worst problems in the world, right? Because one thing about car problems is they never come when you expect them. I was telling Michael the reason why he was looking at my Lexus. All of a sudden, my oil just started running out of the Lexus, like all of the oil. I came outside, and I started the car because, you know, I have to start the car every now and then. I came back out, and I saw rainbows all over the floor coming from my car. And if you guys know what oil looks like on rain, it looks like a rainbow. And I was like, oh, my, is that? I'm like, what the heck? But Michael told me what I got to take care of, so it's all good. Thank God for mechanics. Amen. But God is a spiritual mechanic in our lives. Because guess what? Problems are not going to come when you expect them. They come unexpected, right? Now, Precious, I'm going to share this story real quick, okay? My wife lost her wallet yesterday at the hospital, right? Unexpected. And she called. I called her because I'm like, hey, I'm on the way. She's crying. I'm like, what's wrong with you? What are you crying about? She's like, I lost my wallet. And I'm like, why are you crying about it? Just don't worry. All your cards, we'll just call. We'll shut them down, right? So nobody will have any access to it. And everything else, we'll just have to get again, right? Now, I could have been like, what's wrong with you? How could you lose a wallet, right? And my mom be on me about losing stuff. So I was like, instead of adding to the situation, defuse the situation, right? That's what happens when you speak to God, even when you're in the middle of a crisis. God's word does not come to inflame the situation. It comes to bring peace to the situation. Because God's word brings clarity. Amen? And I told my wife, that's just a material thing. You can get a different thing. Those things happen, right? Maybe God will allow somebody that found it to bring it back, to ship it to the house. Who knows? But if not, we just keep calm and keep on moving. Because God is still in control. Amen? So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Not only did the Holy Spirit come, but the Holy Spirit was promised to come. So let's see what began to happen. Verse 4 says in Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay? Verse 6 says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? What are they asking right there? Anybody know? They wanted to be delivered from the Romans at that time. Right? They are still, get this, this is after Jesus died, resurrected, and is getting ready to go ascend to heaven. They are still trying to find out, Jesus, what are you going to do about these oppressors? We're slaves to their system. Now, the Romans, I think they probably had, their slavery wasn't that bad It was kind of like, we conquer you, now you just, we run it, right? And don't start nothing, there won't be nothing, right? But if you start something, we, like the crazy thing, anybody seen some Roman movies? They would get the centurions, would come out, they would come out with, what's that word? Legions. You guys remember even in, there was legions of demons, right? But that was a word that they used a lot. There would be 2,000 soldiers that would come if you wanted to start something, right? So when Jesus said, listen, I could have called a legion, they knew what he was talking about because they've seen it happen before. I could have called down a legion from heaven. They could have just shut this whole thing down, right? But he said, I'm not here for that. But they still think in the natural. But God, Jesus tells them, go wait for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to bring clarity to the word of God. You guys catch that? They heard the word of God. And this is why some people that have not received the Spirit of God, what happens is when you accept Christ in your life, he deposits the Spirit of God. So that's what happens when some people read the word of God before they're saved, and man, what the heck is this talking about? Right? Then they get saved and it's like, oh my goodness, wow, that's what that meant? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Somebody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit is going to immediately say, God doesn't love his son. Good God. He don't love his son. That's why he gave him up. I'll give my kids up too, right? That's how some people think, because they don't have the revelation of what the word of God is saying. So what Jesus is saying is, after they ask, is this kingdom going to be restored? Jesus basically is letting them know, look, it's not a natural thing that I'm talking about. Okay? Because he says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay? So what's going to happen when they get the Holy Spirit? Not only are they going to get direction on where to go, now they're going to receive power. And if you actually look right before that verse, it said God had already had this thing in his own authority, right? So even when they thought that Israel wasn't still subjective to another kingdom, God still had authority. That's what Jesus let them know in that phrase, right? But he instructs them to wait on the Spirit of God. And if you're making decisions in your life, I think it is, and I think it is imperative, which means you have to wait on the Spirit of God so that you know the direction and that you can walk in authority and power in your own life. Amen? It's important. Because if we don't wait on the Holy Spirit, it will mess us up. There's a lot of people that sometimes they just got an itching to do things, right? The Bible even talks about people that when they first get saved, don't let them do a whole bunch of stuff. Why? Because they're doing it in their flesh. They haven't learned to be subjective to the Holy Spirit yet. That's really what's going on. Because how many of us knew exactly everything about the Holy Spirit when we first got saved? No. The Holy Spirit, when you first got saved and people started speaking in tongues, you were like, that's scary. Right? What are they doing? That's so dumb. Right? But then as you, and to tell the truth, there's still some people that have been saved for a long time that don't understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They think it was just for a certain time. But as you grow and as you say, God, teach me, show me your direction, Spirit of God, he will show you what to do and how to use those gifts. Amen. So it says in verse 12, and we're going to read this through 14 and we'll be done for tonight. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They're missing one person because he couldn't hang, right? Actually, he did hang. But verse 14 says, they all continued with one accord, somebody say one accord, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, okay? So what begins to happen is they are at a place where they're on one accord. Now check this out. Solitary is not always just by itself, but sometimes it's one. All right? You guys catch this? They're in prayer together, but they're one. They're of one accord. They're of one mind. They're praying for God to send his spirit so that they can get direction and guidance in where they should do. What should they do? Right? Because Jesus instructed them to do that. Now, if Jesus instructed his disciples who was kicking it with Jesus, was hugged up on Jesus, hey, Jesus is my homeboy, for real. Like, that's my guy. You know, just imagine some of the disciples talking about, hey, man, you know what? You missed it. We were out there, and there was no food, man, like, for real. None. And then we talked to Jay. You know how they talk. We was talking to Jay, and he was like, man, you guys get food for them. And we was like, we don't got no food. What do you mean? Like, and not only do we not have any food, there's 5,000 people out here, not counting the women and kids, right? So they're like, man, Jesus, which, you know, Jesus is super calm. He said, calm down. Go find some food. So, man, me and the crew, we went and got the food, right? And I mean, this is just a disciple sharing it again. Like, we got the food and we brought it to him and we only had 5 loaves of bread. Listen to me real quick. 5 loaves of bread and two small fish. I was going to say itsy bitty, but we had 2 small fish. And Jesus put his hands on that, and boy, did we eat that day. 5,000 people, that was just the men, not counting the children, the kids, ate that day. Because God, Jesus, prayed for that 5 loaves and the 2 small fish. Now, if you was there, I mean, just imagine that. But that same Jesus told them to wait. And the crazy thing is this. The disciples were already going out to do things while Jesus was there with them. There was plenty of times where Jesus said he sent them out 2 by 2 to go. Remember? Because they went and prayed for some people and some things didn't happen. And they came back to Jesus and were like, how come that didn't happen? Right? But guess what? When Jesus left, he had to send the power, the authority with them. And that's what happens when we make time with God. It gives us the power and the authority. It gives us direction in our life so that we don't miss what God has placed us here for. Amen. Make time for God. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that you put a burning desire in our hearts, dear God, to spend time with you, dear God, so that our hearts, number one, will be right, that we would love you and follow after you, oh God. Dear God, forgive us for the times that we've neglected spending time with you. I know one thing, God, about you is that you long to spend time with us. So, God, I pray to God that as we spend more time with you, God, that your presence would fill us up, oh God, that you would give us direction, power, authority, and insight on what to do, on how to impact the people that are around us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.